The church in Ukraine is in dire straits right now. We're going to talk about that with one of the leading experts in the entire world. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepherd. This is First Liberty Live. We're coming to you from NRB 2022, the Christian Media Convention in Nashville. And our guest is a guy, it's going to take me a while to read your resume, okay? But I feel obligated to do it just to underscore why you're such an expert on this. This is Sam Brownback. He has served as a U.S. representative, and then you were a U.S. senator. And then you were governor of Kansas for a time. And then you were ambassador at large for international religious freedom under the Trump administration. And you've got a new job title, which we're going to talk about in just a couple of minutes with the new organization he just started. But I also need to mention you were the state FFA president.
Here, here, yes, Future Farmers of America.
You still have your blue and gold jacket somewhere?
Now these are Ukrainian colors, but this is actually the blue and gold also of the Future Farmers. Yeah, that's where I got started in politics, as being state president of Future Farmers. And I met a congressman and thought, that's interesting work. I wonder how you get a job like that. And years later, I was able to.
Let's talk about Ukraine a bit, because you have been focused on international religious freedom and domestic religious freedom for so much of your career. A lot of the headlines deal with the power struggle, with the invasion, with the breaking news of the moment. What's the situation for the church in Ukraine? What are they facing? What are they up against?
You know, and it's a blind spot, I think, for the West in particular to not understand the religious underpinnings to a lot of these things. Several years ago, I started working with the Ukrainians who wanted to have a separate Orthodox church. They were a part of the Russian Orthodox Church, and they wanted a Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And it was granted to them by the Greek patriarch is the one that grants these. It's called autocephaly.
Yeah.
Well, that really inflamed the Russian Orthodox Church and President Putin. 40% of the members of the Russian Orthodox Church were Ukrainians. And now they want their own separate church, which they're entitled to. And religious freedom, you want to organize however you want to organize, that's up to you.
Yeah.
Well, but I think it really is one of these underpinnings of how President Putin is looking at, we want to pull the Ukrainians back into our own sphere. We don't want them to be separate. He doesn't see them as separate people.
Right.
And if part of it is this split in the Russian and Ukrainian Orthodox Church.
Do you have a sense of what it's like for the church members on the ground there? I mean, what are they doing day to day as they try to get through this?
I met with several of them before the war, and since then what I've been hearing back is just, I mean, they're at war. The women and children in general have fled the country, and the men have stayed back and fighting, and God bless them. I mean, they are putting up a whale of a fight, and they are going to be independent. Regardless of what Russia does, and they may sit on them here for a while, they are going to be an independent nation. And Vladimir Putin has ensured that by attacking them. He just set in that fighting spirit in them. They're going to be free, and they're going to be separate from the Russian domination.
At my house, we've been praying for the church in Ukraine, praying that they might be a light in the midst of this, that they might be a beacon of hope. Is that even possible in the current setting?
I think so. And matter of fact, that's some of the stories I'm hearing of people just talking about miracles that are happening for the Ukrainian people and in situations that Ukrainian soldiers have been overlooked in places where the Russians were walking through, and they're going, I don't have an explanation for how this happens. But I do pray that they can be a light and a beacon, and I pray that the attacking stops, and I pray that we would be supportive of the forces of freedom in Ukraine.
What's the best thing for us to pray for the Ukrainian church right at this time?
Oh, well, that the people would be able to get out that need to get out, elderly and others. But also, I think that they would stand strong and courageous, and that they would stand for their freedom and their faith. I hope, as I mentioned, that we give them armament. I hope we help their economy. We can support these special drawing rights at the IMF to support the Ukrainian economy, because theirs is completely in shambles after what these Russian attacks. So I'm hopeful we can do things like that to be as supportive as we can.
Very good. Now, just a couple of months ago, at the end of January, you launched a new organization, and its goal is very impressive. I want to make sure I get the name right, so I'm going to read it off here. It's called the National Committee for Religious Freedom. You've got a terrific advisory board, and you've got some plans for the future. First, tell me what the organization's mission is, and then what do you see for the future?
It stands up for the free exercise of your religious rights in the United States. Religious freedom is under attack at home and abroad. We need to stand up and fight for it. These are your First Amendment free exercise rights. Remember, the First Amendment says there won't be a state church, there will not be a church in the United States, and there will be no limitation on your free expression of your own faith. As long as you're doing it peacefully, no limitation. Well, it's to stand up for that free exercise, and it's all faiths. So we've got Protestants and Catholics and LDS and Jews and Muslims and Hindus all standing up and all feeling the threat of religious persecution and the crowding in on their space to be able to train up their own next generation and raise up their own family and what they see and believe. It's 501c4, so it'll do education and a candidate identification. We'll do candidate pledges, voter guides, to identify who is good on religious freedom and who is opposed to religious freedom.
Now, with that, and this is part and parcel of all you're saying, but I want to ask it as a question because I want to hear your answer to it. Why is religious freedom such an essential part of America? Why is it such an essential part of this great experiment that we're all a part of?
I think it's an essential human right. I think it's the cornerstone human right that you can build the other human rights off of. And if this one crumbles, you lose ground on freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, all these other freedoms if you don't have this fundamental one well-placed and secure. This is what we built the country on to start off with in the first place. And just think, people know the Pilgrim story, that they came here for religious freedom to practice their faith, got run out of Great Britain, then the Netherlands, they came here. But what they don't remember is those first 13 colonies, you had Quakers in Pennsylvania, you had the Catholics in Maryland, you had all these various religions that were used to having countries of one religion and fighting with each other. How are you going to make a country out of this? Well, they came upon religious freedom. No state church, no Church of America, and no limitation on your free exercise of that. That's foundational to how this diverse society that we have, the most diverse in the world, has been able to work and to come together as a nation. And that's why it's so fundamental to us to maintain it.
How can families pass that heritage along to their kids? What do they need to do?
I think they need to practice, and I think they need to celebrate it. And they need to get themselves involved in a homeless shelter that most of the time are run by religious groups, and tell people, this is our church that sponsors this homeless shelter or this food distribution, and we believe in these causes. Or healthcare system. I think somewhere near a third or a fourth of the healthcare system in the country is religious institutions. All this spiritual capital comes forward out of the free expression of people's faith. I think we need to tell the positive story instead of it always being seen like, well, this is just a combat story between people of different values. You know, this is a beautiful story of a diverse nation being able to function together.
Anything else you'd like to share before I let you go?
We've got a big International Religious Freedom Summit, June 28th to 30th in Washington, D.C. The Global Religious Freedom Community will come together there. If people want to come to that, they can go on that website, register to come. IRF Summit 2022, International Religious Freedom. And this is a big movement, and we really need people's help to sign up and help out.
And the website for your new organization is?
TheNCRF.org. The National Committee of Religious Freedom.org, thencrf.org.
Very good. Sam Brownback, so good to see you again. Great chatting with you.
My pleasure.
All right, and we will be back with more for you from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention here in Nashville on First Liberty Live.